نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us another opportunity to continue to discuss the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as compiled by Al-Imam al-Nawawi in his Arba'un. Last time we discussed the 13th hadith, الحديث الثالث عشر، which was the hadith of the eminent companion and servant of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أبو حمزة أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه، that the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام that لا يؤمن أحدكم as we read from other wordings of the hadith, لا يبلغ أحد حقيقة الإيمان حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. But no one of you will has truly believed حتى يحب لأخي until he loves for his brother ما يحب لنفسه من الخير what he loves for himself of good. And that hadith is reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslims in their Sahih. Today inshallah we'll look at the hadith of Abu Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And that is the hadith, the 14th hadith in the Arba'un of Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. In it he said an ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث: الطيب الزاني، والنفس بالنفس، والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. يتلى عليه رحمة الله عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث: الطيب الزاني، والنفس بالنفس، والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. الحديث was reported by والإمام البخاري عن الإمام مسلم. إمام بخاري إن هي صحيح عن الإمام مسلم إن هي صحيح. As we said earlier, this hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the hadith of Sadiq al-Masduq, he mentioned the kunya of the companion. So that is why he has not repeated it here again. He told us there that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is who? Abu Abdurrahman. So in this hadith, which is the second hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he did not tell us that he is Abu Abdurrahman. Just like the last hadith we read was the hadith of Anas bin Malik. He told us the kunya of Anas bin Malik. And what is that? Abu Hamza. So if we come across another hadith of Anas bin Malik, he's not likely to tell us his kunya again. Because he had told us what his kunya is. Not only that, he did not tell us that he is Abdullah. He only told us he is what? Ibn Mas'ud. And in this ummah, when that word is used, Ibn Mas'ud, like that, even when the person does not make radiallahu anhu such that we know that it is referring to a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that it's referring to Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. This is when even Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had a brother who was a companion, Utbah ibn Mas'ud. Even at that, if the word Ibn Mas'ud is generally used, it is not referring to any other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So it's telling us that Ibn Mas'ud in here, so no one should say, oh, is it referring to Utbah ibn Mas'ud? La, it's talking about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The one he had told us about previously in the hadith of As-Sadiq al-Masduq. So he said, Qala, he said Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, that Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Before that, in other riwayat of this hadith, like that of Al-Imam Muslim, Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, in their Sunan, it said that the companion said that قَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ Once the Prophet stood amongst us, he was with us, he stood up, and then he said, فَقَالَ Then Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ I swear by the one besides whom there is none who is worthy of being worshipped. وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ And then he mentioned the hadith, لَا يَحِلُّ دَمُ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ So, but this wording we are reading does not contain that increment, but the increment is from the hadith. So it said that قَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ That once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم stood up amongst us, and he said that وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ I swear by the one besides whom there is no one who is worthy of being worshipped. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ swore before he commenced the statement brings about two benefits or more. The first benefit is that it shows the importance of what he wants to say to us. Because when the Prophet, and that was why when the people are being funny about the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you know, there are some of the people that are referred to as the Quraniyun, those who do not believe in the use of the Sunnah, the practices of the Prophet ﷺ and his reported statements and approvals as evidences. So these are known people who oppose the Sunnah. But there are some others who do not come out openly to oppose the Sunnah, but they are from those who oppose the Sunnah too. So when they do a thing and a hadith is brought to them, they say, no, we don't accept. And then they begin to make arguments, kalam. So when such people are talked about, there is going to be evidencing against them. One quick verse in Surah An-Nisa. That regarding which Allah swore. He says, Allah, wa rabbika la yu'minun. Allah swore. Such that we know the importance of all of what comes after the swearing. The same thing regarding those who deny the coming of the Day of Judgment. Allah says in Tagabu, He says, Za'ama alladhina kafaru alla yubas. Those who disbelieve claim, they idealize that they will not be raised up. The Qul say to them, Allah wa Rabbi, I swear by my Lord, La Tuma Sunnah, I have three swearing said, Wa Rabbi, Laamul Qasam, and Nun Tawfid. La Tuma Sunnah. So surely you'll be raised. So whenever Allah and His Messenger make swearings like this, they make us understand the importance of what they say after this one. So when the Prophet said here, alayhi salatu wasalam, that وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ, I swear by the one besides whom there is none who is worthy of worship, it meant that all of what comes after it is something that the Muslim must be very, very careful regarding. Must listen to it. And this brings us to the second benefit. The second benefit in this hadith that we can, in this point that we can quickly point out, is the fact that when someone wants to make an important statement, it does not need to be asked to swear before he swears. If he swears, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. If he swears without being asked to swear, it is not wrong, because here the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not asked to swear. He was just swearing to make us understand the importance of what he said. So he stood up, alayhi salatu wasalam, as is in one of the wordings, قَامَ فِيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُ. So nobody asked the Prophet, swear, swear, so that we know the importance of what you are saying. I see that the right to be claimed. So he swore, which meant, and before he made the statement, which meant that someone can swear when he wants to make a statement, one, regarding which he wants the people to take very important, two, regarding which he wants them to know that he has declared every truth to them regarding the matter. So, and they did not ask him to swear. So a person can swear in Islam before he makes a statement. But it should not be the way of the person, the order of the person. It should not be the way that someone is known all of his life. Each time he wants to make a statement, he swears. There are some of the people, you'll say, Wallahi, 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 six times. Or Wallahi, 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 seven times. It is not correct. So one is okay. And even at that, it should not be what the person is used to all the time he swears. About two or three days ago, a brother was informing me that he has a friend. The time that he swears is when he wants to lie. When you just hear a lie from him, know that the next thing that follows is a lie. People are like this, and they should fear Allah. Because when they swear, they call Allah to witness. So you call Allah to witness a lie, you're not even ashamed of yourself. The lie, subhanAllah, the lie that you are ashamed to make your friend realize, which is the original reason why you are swearing, so that he will not think that you are lying. Well, you are not ashamed of Allah that you are calling him to witness a lie. Do you understand? He's talking to a friend whom he does not like that he discovers his lies. So because of that, he swears. But the Allah whom you call to witness the statement itself, is he the one who is most deserving of being shy of, or the person to whom you are lying and you are bringing Allah in to the lie? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that wallahu ahaqqu an yustahya minhu. And Allah is the one who has the greatest right to be shy of. The one who has the greatest right that we are shy of is who? Allah. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, wallahu ahaqqu an yustahya minhu. So he is not ashamed of Allah. So he calls Allah to witness a lie regarding which he is ashamed of, that his friends detect that he is telling a lie. So someone should not be used to swearing all the time. And that's why some of the scholars have used that verse in the Quran that وَلَا تُطْعِ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَعِينٍ. Do not follow the one who حَلَّافٍ. Look at the figure in Mubalagha. You want all the time he's swearing. All the time he's swearing. Do not follow him. Do not believe him. So that person, he is known now. The person said, even the Christians know that. When he says, wallahi, 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 you say, hey, that's your wallahi, it's a lie. The next thing you say now is a lie. So a Muslim should not be the one who swears all the time. And when he swears, when a Muslim has to swear, he should swear by Allah alone. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, man kana halifan, falyahlif billah, aw liyaskut. Anyone who wants to make an oath, who wants to swear, let him swear only by Allah. Okay, fine. So there is no swearing by any other than Allah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as wallazi la ilaha ghayru, I swear by the one besides whom there is none who is worthy of being worshipped. And then he made the statement, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم. لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم. If you take this thing only literally, it will be as if the blood of other Muslims is permissible to eat and drink. It will be as if the blood of other than Muslims is permissible to eat and drink, or that the blood of these groups of Muslims, because there is istisna there, that when you spill their blood, you can drink the blood. Because it is la yahillu dam. The blood is not permissible. Is it talking about the blood itself or letting the blood? So it's talking about letting the blood of a Muslim, taking the life of a Muslim. So it's not saying la yahillu dam umri'in. In terms of consumption, it is talking about, that's why some of the scholars say that there is a mudaf there that is mahzuf, and that damu qama maqamahu. That this dam itself is attached to something. So they say iraqatu damil. So in that case, the dam will come bil jarri. But they say, oh, they remove that iraqa and the damu stays in its place, so it takes the rough. So, but the actual meaning is that the stealing of the blood of a Muslim is not legitimate. La yahillu. It's not right. It's not permissible. It is prohibited by Allah. A Muslim does not take the life of another Muslim. In other wordings of that hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah has reported, it says, La yahillu damu imri'in muslimin يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله. لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله. It is not legal, it is not legitimate to steal the blood. Steal the blood here itself does not mean poke him with a chain so that the blood is let. No. It means taking his life, killing him. So this is not permissible for anyone who is a Muslim. Yashhadu an la ilaha illallah. All ulama say, all this, yashhadu an la ilaha illallah. They refer to it as sifatun mufassirah. Some of them say it is taqful bayan. Whichever of the case goes. So, la yahillu damu imri'in muslimin. It is not permissible to kill a Muslim. يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who testifies that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنِّي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And that I am. He is saying that, alayhi salam. The Prophet said, and that I am Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. So anyone who makes this justification, la yahillu damuhu, it is not permissible to take his life. the life of anyone who testifies to Islam, except in these three conditions that we'll mention, inshallah. He says, illa bi ihda salas, except in ihda salasin, one of these three conditions, except in one of three cases. So there are three cases. Anyone that the person comes of in who is a Muslim, then it is permissible to take the blood of that person. Here are some of the ulama say from the benefits of this hadith right here is that the blood of the non-Muslim can be taken, because he restricts the one that whose blood should not be taken to be who? Imra'in Muslimin yashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. So it means the mafhum al-mukhalafa, understanding the opposite, the contrast of it. Other than them, their lives can be taken, based on this hadith. But based on other texts of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad and the ways of the pious predecessors, we know that about three groups of people amongst the non-Muslims, their lives cannot be taken. Their lives cannot be taken. So one of them is the madman, the one who has come, they have given him security. He wants to sell products to, for example, to judge. This one happened at the time of Imam Malik, alayhi rahmatullah. Some non-Muslims will bring commodities to Hijaz to come and sell to Hujjaj at the time of Hajj. So we are giving him security. Don't worry, come, we will not kill you. So in this case, we do not kill the non-Muslim. The other one is al-Mu'ahada. The other one is we have covenant with them. Some non-Muslims will come to deliver a message to the leaders of the Muslims regarding a matter. We must not kill them. And things like that. Those who are under covenant, we do not kill them. And similar to that are those who are referred to as what? The need. But the difference between the first two and this one that we have mentioned is that the Zimmi is living amongst the Muslims. And he is paying jizya for living amongst them, as a result of the fact that the Muslims protect him. If anybody fights him, they fight those people. So those people are under the Muslims, they are living under the Muslim state, and they have a right of protection. They are to be protected. Yes, they are living with us. But those other people only come. Perhaps they came as emissaries, they sent some messages, they give them authority. Or they are even people, the countries with whom there is agreement. Because when Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, to Medina, he made some agreements with the Yahud of Medina regarding things like this. So those kind of ahad can be made with some non-Muslims. Perhaps a country. And that's why most of people today say, oh, the Muslims from the Muslim countries have relationship with some non-Muslim countries. Yes, when there are benefits upon that, that the Muslims will benefit from that. Or some people will give them security, come. If you look at the Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, for example, or the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, not all those who built it are Muslims. So in such cases, those who will come to take part, who are non-Muslims, because the Muslims cannot be gotten, they will be given security, come, we will not kill them. So, but even at that, when you don't have a non-Muslim in any of these three situations, who is the person who is given the authority to kill people? Authorities. So the Muslim does not just go on the street and start killing the people because they are non-Muslims. He is not authorized to do that in Sharia. So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that la yahillu damu mri'in muslimin illa bi ihda salas. So that's regarding the non-Muslim. What about the Muslim? So to shed the blood of the Muslim is not permissible, except if in one of three cases. Except in one of three persons. Anyone that the Muslim falls into, it is legal that his blood is taken. And don't forget, It is not every Muslim, every Zaid and Haris that goes on the street to kill the people. When people committed zina at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was the Prophet who ordered people to be killed. The only case that it is permissible that people dispense legal punishment upon those who fall prey, who offend the law, is when a Muslim has a slave. He is the lord of the slave. So the slave does something that requires that his punishment can be punished. The owner of the slave can punish him. There are many cases, but maybe we'll just get one and go ahead, inshallah. There was a slave woman at the time of the Prophet who was a Jew and a slave of one of the companions. Each time this Muslim comes into the house, the slave girl will abuse the Prophet. He felt so bad about it. So one day she abused the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith, Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah has brought its riwayah in his book As-Sarim al-Maslul, Al-Ashat al-Rasul. So he brought a lot of reports of this same hadith. It's in the books of Sunan al-Masanid. So this companion got that Jewish slave of his. He tied her, sat upon her, and got an axe and axed her head. He covered her head with the axe because she was abusing the Prophet Muhammad. So, and the Prophet did not abuse him nor scold him. So this is from Sunnatun Takdiriyah. The Prophet was alive, alayhi salam. He heard about it, alayhi salam. Allah saw it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He heard it, he knew it, and he did not reveal any part of the Quran to refute it. So if it were not permissible that the owner of a slave killed his own slave, then the revelation would have come. So this is not talking about a woman or a man or a young boy or a young girl who is serving you. There is a difference between a slave and a servant. Someone like Anas bin Malik, we said, it was read last week, is Khadimur Rasul. He's not a slave. For example, now we say Mawla Rasulah. He's not. Anas bin Malik is not a slave of the Prophet, but he was serving the Prophet. So most of what you have in the world to do are those who serve people. Your wife is overworked with some home chores. So you say you need someone who will help her at home. So you send people, please, if you find someone, they send a young little girl to you. And then she's helping you wash the plate and your clothes. She's not your slave. So if you kill this one, you fall under an-nafsu bin-nafsi. So there's difference between the slaves. This is because in some parts of the Muslim world, people have gotten these kind of people. People bringing servants from far Asian countries. And some of these girls are very young girls that can be married, that are matured, and they begin to cohabit with them as if they are their slaves. They are not their slaves. They cohabit with them in the Muslim world. In some cases, they get their children to cohabit with them. This is not permissible, and the scholars have been warning regarding that. There is a difference between someone who is under you as a slave, underline the word slave, and there is someone, this difference between the other person who is with you as a servant, as a helper, as a nanny, as anything you like to call it today, but not your slave. So, in such a case, a Muslim who owns a slave can implement the legal punishment upon that slave. So here he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, لا يحل دم امرئ المسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى ثلاث. It is not permissible to kill a Muslim who accept that Allah, there is none worthy of worship except Him, and that I, He, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the messenger of Allah, except in one of three cases. When the Muslim falls in one of three things, the first one is Al-Sayyibu Zani. Al-Sayyibu Zani. The Sayyib is a person who had been married before. Someone has a legally valid marriage in the Sharia, and inside that marriage he had cohabited with a woman. Because somebody can marry a woman and not cohabit with her and then divorce her. It's permissible and it is possible in the Sharia. When I say it's permissible, don't say, why am I saying that? Because talaq, the basic rule on talaq is permissibility, jawaz. Jawaz. The basic rule of talaq is jaiz. It can be wajib sometimes, it can be mustahab sometimes, it can be makruh sometimes, it can be haram sometimes. So just like nikah, talaq also varies depending on the person and depending on the condition. So when a Muslim marries and cohabits in that marriage, a Muslim here, male or female, a Muslim marries and then inside that marriage he has cohabited. So that is what a sayyid. So inside marriage, he has cohabited. I said the other time, I didn't evidence it. I said somebody can marry and get the woman divorced without having cohabited with her. Allah mentioned that in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَكَحْتُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ فَمَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ عِدَّةٍ تَعْتَدُّونَهَا. Allah says, إِذَا نَكَحْتُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ It starts with أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, Taysiru Kareem al-Rahman, he said the fact that Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, indicates that what is to come before it is not something that is hated or disliked. If not, he will not refer to them as الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So if what is coming behind is something that is disliked basically or hated basically, Allah will not say الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He will not describe them with iman. In talaq, what did he say? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ. إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَى. The first person he mentioned was Nabi. Now, ulama say, rahimahumullah, that he mentioned the Nabi, but he intended all of the Ummah. So that's why he didn't say, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَى. He said, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَى. He says, أَطَلِّقُوا وَاوُ الْجَمَعَةِ. So he mentioned the Prophet, but he meant all of the Muslims. So a Muslim can have a woman married, but he didn't cohabit with her. That person does not fall under this rule. The one who falls under As-Sayyibu Zani is a Muslim who has a legally valid marriage in the Sharia and then cohabits inside that marriage. This is As-Sayyibu Zani. When that person now cohabits illegally or cohabits with another woman that is not his wife, or she cohabits with another man that is not her husband. This is As-Sayyibu Zani. Some things are common. Let us quickly one regard it so that you do not apply this hadith to a person or people to whom the hadith is not applicable. The first of such persons is that the fact that you see a woman going to the house of a man, she stays there 2, 3, 4 hours and comes out. They both come out together. Then you say she's Sayyibu Zani. If you are caught in the Sharia, you'll be given 80 strokes of the cane. And they ask you, why do you say she's Sayyibu Zani? You say, because I saw her in the house of a man, coming out of the house of a man. In fact, you may be seeing her dressing up. If you say it, that she say Sayyid al-Zani, you are liable to 80 strokes. And the guilty of what is referred to as what? Al-Fadl in Sharia. False accusing, falsely accusing someone of being guilty of adultery or illicit sexual intercourse. So, affirmable zani, zina is affirmed for a person and will be due to be punished in two or three situations. When the person comes out to say, actually, what does it mean? Is it when the man just romances the woman? No. The ulama say when the upper part of the male organ of a man enters the female organ of a woman. Is it the cap that it is referred to? The part where the flesh is cut off at circumcision. Cap. Glands. So when the glands is hidden inside the organ of the woman, zina is found. So even when you see them together, you cannot say that it's zina. You can't say it. Until you see that. You see the glands sunk in the woman, not only you and three others must see that. One of the ulama said that this has not happened in the Ummah of Islam. It has never happened in the Ummah of Islam that a woman was caught with a man in zina and four people attest to it. It has never happened. The highest was three in the case of Umar رضي الله عنه أمير المؤمنين but الإمام البيهقي has reported in his Sunan al-Kubra but at the time of Umar رضي الله عنه in fact one of the companions was flogged because of it, Abu Bakr so himself and two others saw the glands in the female in the genital organ of the woman and they shouted So another person came and saw it. But the other person did not see the exact thing that they saw. So when they took the case to the authority, this is evidence that you take cases of these issues to who? The authority. It was taken to Umar Abdullah. That look, this man and this woman are guilty of sin. Say, no problem. But you have to give attestation, testimony that you saw it. So the person, first person came, gave testimony. Abu Bakr himself, radiallahu anhu, is a companion. I saw the glands in the genital of the female. The other person came. I saw Susan. The same thing. The third person came. I saw the same thing. The fourth person came. Umar said to him, make sure that your testimony is a testimony of truth. The fourth person. So he said, I didn't see that. I only saw what is bad. So the first three people were given 80 strokes of the cane. And it included a companion. But the companion, after that, still insisted that, look, Omar, I saw it. Omar was ready to flog him again, I'll start the hajj for all over again. Ali Radiallahu Anhu stopped him. If you flog him again, then you stone this man and this woman to death. If you flog him again, then you must stone this man and this woman today. So Umar of the land who left. That is the highest reported case. The ulama say that it is not known that four persons caught a man and a woman in zina like that. Not that you see them together. You see as described. It was not. So that is the first case. So don't just say, Ashawuni, who told you that? If you are not punished for love in this dunya, Allah will hold you responsible in the day of Qiyamah. So that's the thing. He says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا Those who accuse Muslims, male and female, of what they have not done. You have not seen that regarding which you accused the woman. He says she's a harlot. Did you see the glands as said in the female genital organ? And if you saw it, you and who and who and who and who? Sorry. This will make us mention a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. that someone, this hadith is reported in Sahihain, that some people or a person will make a statement and he will not care about the statement, and it is that statement that will take him to the fire. And someone also will make a statement and will not care about the statement, that is the statement by which he will get into Al-Jannah. So let each one be careful what he says about people, whether in the open or in the secret. Whether there is a government to punish for calls for, or there is no government that will punish for calls today. Let everyone know what he says. Because he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma yalfizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. There is not a statement that anyone makes, except that one companion asked the Prophet Lord, be making statements. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, is there anything that takes the people to the fire easily than what their tongues say? So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى ثلاث. And the fourth person he mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, is الصيب الزاني. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله, because I'm sure if we look at our copies of this hadith in Arba'un, this Azani, there is probably not going to be a Ya'un there. Is there? There is. There is. In some Nusakh, you will not find a Ya'un. As-Sayyibu Azani. You just see the Noon. So it's going to be the Kafri Noon. And what the case should be is that it should be al-raf lit-tab'iyyah, because it is sifa for who? Sayyid. So it should be marfu, because mawsuf is also what? Marfu. So al-Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah, yajuzu fihi isbatu ya wa hazfuha. He said, wa isbatuha ashhar. So it's permissible to make it with ya, azani, and it's also permissible azani without a ya. Said, but to says wa isbatuha ashhar. What is most common is that zani has a ya. So when that happens, then the blood of that person is legal. His life can be taken. The same thing applies to The one who cohabits with a beast. The one who cohabits with a beast, that person should be killed, and the beast should be killed. The same thing applies to a man that cohabits with another man. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man wajadtumuhu ya'malu amala qawmi lutin faqtulu fa'il wal maf'ul aw maf'ul bi. The faqtulu fa'il, kill the one who does it, wa maf'ul bi, and the one that sodomy is carried out with, kill the two of them. So ulama say this one does not mean that someone is married. Whether the person is married before in a legally valid marriage as we described the sayyid or not, because he said alayhi salatu wasalam, man whomever wajad to know who you find. In that case, he did not restrict the ruling to who? A sayyid. And in the case of the sayyibu zani, what will we do to the person? After the person is affirmed by the witnesses that the person has committed zina, or the person confesses that he or she has committed the zina, what will we do? What will the authority do to such person? Of course, the person will be stoned to death. The person will be stoned to death. So the blood is legal in that case. There is a hadith of one of those who was stoned to death at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was it Khalid ibn Walid? When the person was running away, and was saying, was it Ma'iz also ibn Malik? And was saying, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. He was recounting what he had, you know, affirmed against himself. He was running away. Khalid said, I took a big boulder of rock, and I scattered his head. Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu anhu, who did this? He's doing this because the blood of that person at that time was what? Halal. But from the benefits of that one is that that person will not be punished for zina again on the day of Qiyam. Because the Prophet has said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the person is giving the Hajj legal punishment. He said it is what? Kafara for him. So the person will not be punished on the day of Qiyam. He serves him for his punishment instead on the day of Qiyam. So that's briefly regarding that, inshallah. The second person is wa nafsu bin nafsi. The second time the life of a Muslim is right, is correct to be taken by the authority is a nafsu bin nafsi. When that Muslim had killed another person, amdan, knowingly, and he is to be killed in return, then it is legal that his life is taken. A Muslim deliberately kills another Muslim. So he has two options, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that man qatala amdan, anyone who kills deliberately, dufika ila awliyahi al-qatil, he will be pushed, he will be presented before the people, the relatives, the family of the one who was killed, the deceased. فَإِنْ شَاءُوا قَتَلُوا. If they like, they will say, no, we want revenge. Let him be killed also. وَإِنْ شَاءُوا أَخَذُوا الدِّيَةِ. And if they like, they can say, no, we want blood money. He says, وَذَلِكَ ثَلَاثُونَ حِقَّةً وَثَلَاثُونَ جَزْعَةً وَأَرْبَعُونَ خَلِقَةً. And the jizya is salasuna hiqa, 30 cows that are around 4 years old. The jizya, this is what they calculate, you see they write in the masajid. That price should be fluctuating as the prices of these animals will be mentioned in fluctuate. The first, it has not finished. Salasuna hiqa. 30 camels that are about 4 years old. 30 plus 30 jaz'a, 30 sheep that are in their second year, or
cows that are in their third year, or camels that are in their fifth year. They are all referred to as Jezza. 30. So 30 camels that are in their fourth year, then 30 camels or sheep or rams or cows that are in their for the camel, 50 year for the cows, third year, and for the sheep or the rams, their second year. Another 30. For arbauna khaliqatan, that is 40 pregnant camels. Add all of this together. Someone who kills the other person deliberately. This is what he would say. So he may bring the money. The person says, I don't want the money. I want these animals. Go and look for 40 pregnant camels. MashaAllah. If people know this, they will not kill you. He says, walakum fil qisasi hayatun. So you will not kill people, because when you know that when they kill you, or they will kill you, or you pay this jizya, or this jizya, you will not do it. So people will leave. That's why I say, see, hayat. There is life in it. More people will leave, because less number of people will like to commit murder. So it is not in the cases where they will bribe police, and police will kill the case. So, an-nafsu bin-nafsu, when a person kills and he is to be killed in return, it is permissible to take the life of the Muslim in that case. But this Muslim that has killed somebody must not be a child. He must not also be someone who is insane, because the pain has been raised for these groups of people, the children and the insane. Also, the person who we want to kill, that he has killed somebody, that the authority wants to kill because he or she had killed somebody, must not be the father of the or the mother of the person that he killed. If a father kills his son in the Sharia, you do not kill the father because he killed his son. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, لا يقتل الوالد بولده. لا يقتل الوالد بولده. The parent is not killed for the sake of his son or her son or daughter, as the case may be. So that person, when he said, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى الثلاث, and he says, النفس بالنفس, that the person who kills somebody should be killed. It is not in the case where if the person who killed that person is the father of the person. The same thing applies. If it is not that it is his or her slave that she has killed, because you do not kill a freeborn for a slave. You kill a slave for a slave. You kill a freeborn for a freeborn. You do not kill a master of a slave because of his or her slave that she has killed. I hope it is clear. Also, it should not be that the one who was killed was a kafir, because you do not kill a Muslim because of a kafir. If a Muslim kills a kafir deliberately, you do not kill the Muslim. Yes, you do not kill a Muslim because he killed a kafir. So you do not kill, you do not kill. It's not individuals. It's talking about who? Authority. Because we had said at the beginning that it is the authority that kills people, that will implement these legal punishments. Just like it is the authority who will implement a case wherein someone wants to overthrow the government now. If someone does that, is it the people on the street who say, oh, we want to kill him because we wanted to overthrow government? No. Government will kill the person and apply the appropriate sections to the law. So the government here refers to is the government of Islam. They are the ones to take care of that. The first person is at-tariku li dinihi, the one who abandons his religion. Al-mufariku lil jama'ah, he leaves his religion and by that he has abandoned the congregation of Muslims. If a Muslim leaves Islam, he is to be killed. He said alayhi salatu wasalam. Hadith is in Sahihain. Said, man badala deenahu faqtulu. Anyone who leaves Islam, changes his deen from Islam to other than Islam, faqtulu. Kill him. But the Muslim who changes his deen, yustatab. Ulama say, he will be encouraged to repent. If he repents, then he is back into Islam. If he does not repent, he will be killed. The Imam al-Bayhaqi and Al-Qutni have both and others have reported the hadith regarding a woman at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who became a non-Muslim. This woman, it was told to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to them that she should be asked to repent, come back. If she did not come back, kutilat, she should be killed. So ulama say they are giving the opportunity to repent and recount they are going out of Islam, so that they can say they are not going out of Islam. Some scholars have said that they are even given 3 days. And that is picked from the Athar of Umar radiallahu anhu. That when Mu'adh ibn Jabal, you know the Prophet sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen. When he came back to Medina, Umar radiallahu anhu was asking him, tell us what's happening there. Tell us what's happening in Yemen. So he started to say, he didn't say, there are a lot of money. If you go there, you see, he's telling him about deen. He said, there are someone went out of Islam, reneged out of Islam. You can also say renegade, but it is strange. So the person went out of Islam and he was killed. Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, was he asked to repent? Yes, he was asked to repent. He said, was he in prison for 3 days? And said and encouraged to go out of what he has gone into back into Islam? He said no. He said, oh, you have done that. So ulama say Umar's statement, you would have done that, is evidence that people like that should be kept for a period of 3 days before they are asked to be killed. And also, like we said, they will be asked to repent. And depending on how the evil of those people were, they will either be killed secretly or be killed openly, depending on their evils. Like Al-Jad ibn Dirham, the one who started saying that Allah did not speak to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and Allah has not taken Nabi Ibrahim as his friend. He was killed publicly on the day of Eid. On the ground, on the Eid ground. The point of reference is ulama say Al Imam Ibn Abi Izz Al Hanafi in his Sharh of Aqidat al Tahawiyah, when he discussed this matter, said that before he was killed by Khalid Al Faswi, Khalid Al Faswi consulted the scholars amongst the pious predecessors, and they say kill him on the Eid ground. So that people see that anyone who commits this kind of offense in the like that he has committed it, this is the way he will be killed. So Khalid came to the people and announced, Ayuhannas, O people, slaughter your, make your slaughterings. He said, Duhu taqabbalallahu duhayakum. May Allah accept your slaughterings. As for me, my slaughtering is Ja'ad ibn Jirham. People are slaughtering their own rams. His own ram was Al-Jad ibn Dirham. Slaughtered him probably. Because he denied the attributes of Allah. But Allah does not speak. That Allah does not have a friend in Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah told us that in the Quran. Allah says, Wa kallama Allahu Musa. He said, He put an-nafiyatu al-hijaziyah. Ulama say this man nafia, it is in Hijaz that it is used. So they refer to it as ma an nafia to Hijaziya. He said, La. Allah did not take, Allah did not speak to Musa. He says, وَتَخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. He says, مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ. He rescued. He was killed. There are others too who were killed like that. So those people were killed because they renegated out of Islam. And there are so many ways people go out of Islam. Like being a magician, believing in magic, and doing the magic in such a manner that it involves shirkiyat and kufriyat. Such persons, if they live in the cities of Islam, will be killed. Because the punishment for shirk is being killed. And the reason for that is that Imam al-Shafi'i said, alayhi rahmatullahi, because sihr is from aspects of what? Kufr. So you'll be considered as having gone out of Islam. That's why those who say that the person who abandons Salah is a kafir, applies to it that he should be killed. Because he has gone out of Islam. And that is the reason why the people who declare people that anyone who commits a sin is a kafir. They also do it because they say, Man bada ladina hu faqtulu. Like the Khawarij. The Khawarij, from their major attitude, is they take camps. They go and camp themselves there. So anybody whom they declare as a kafir, the meaning is that that person has gone out of Islam. So they will apply this hadith to him that Man bada ladina hu faqtulu. So they like to kill the person and take his property. So, one who leaves Islam should be killed by the authorities. So this person is who also? Al-Mufariqu lil-Jama'ah. The one who abandons the congregation of Muslims. Of course, when he goes out of Islam, there is no brotherhood between himself and the rest of Muslims. If there had been the government of Islam in a place like Nigeria, many people would have been killed. For this, many people would have been killed. Many would have been killed. And some of those people should have been killed by the Islamic government if it was in existence, are now imams of masajid. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are the ones leading other Muslims in Salah. Those who should have been killed because of Shafi'iyya and Kufriyya, if there were an Islamic government. But there is none. Recently it was in the paper, some people in the West were criticizing the Saudi Arabian government that some magicians were discovered, so they gathered all of them and killed all of them. It's not so long, not up to 6 months now. They gathered all of them and killed all of them. So some people were shouting that, why are they killing them in the West? So because they changed their religion. They declared war against the rest of us. We have to kill them. The government of the kingdom killed those people for that thing. The same thing applies to the one who abuses Allah, like Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham that we mentioned. What he said was tantamount to abusing Allah. The slave we mentioned of a companion, we remember that companion. The companion who killed his slave because she abused the Prophet Muhammad. So the same thing applies. If a Muslim does that, he is due to be killed. A Muslim who abuses the Prophet will be killed. So if a Muslim who abuses the Prophet, he will be killed. What about the non-Muslim who is living under the Muslims as seeking protection? And then he comes and abuses the Prophet. Unfortunately, it is not the Muslim who should go to the streets and start killing that kind of a person. You should only arrest him and take him to the authorities. So unfortunately today you see that some Muslims, one kafir in his baladul kufur will abuse the Prophet. The Muslims will start killing some innocent non-Muslims living around them. So how they are applying the law. Kill them, kill them, kill them, take their property. They are not the ones who committed the offense. But they are the ones that the Muslims will, or some Muslims will go out against. This hadith was reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, and Al-Imam Muslim, both of them in their association. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that la yahillu damu imri'in muslimin illa bi salah. As-sayyibu az-zani wan-nafsu bin-nafsi wat-tariku li dinihi al-mufariku lil-jama'ah. But it is not permissible to take the blood to lie, to kill a Muslim who testifies that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is his messenger, except in one of three situations. Sayyid al-Zani, the one who had been in a legally valid marriage, who commits adultery. One nafsu bin nafsi, when a person who had killed a person is to be killed, killing him is legal. Watariku li dinihi, and the one who has abandoned his religion, his Islam, al mufariku lil jama'ah, and by that also abandoning the rest of the Muslims. So these three people are due to be killed legally by the authorities according to the Sharia of Islam. This hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim alayhim rahmatullah. I think it suffices inshallah briefly for that hadith. There are one or two questions that we can answer. We can attend to them inshallah. Alaykum salam. It is the issues of dia, giving blood money that is going to be applicable when it is confirmed that the person did not really intend to kill the person. So the person will not be asked to be killed if it is affirmed that it was a mistake from the person from whose hands the life went in. And that should be in situations, for example, like someone hits a person with a cane. Ordinarily, a cane does not kill people. But by that, the person died. It should not be considered as deliberately killing the person, even when he intended actually to hit the person. But what we know is that what he has hit him with is not something that takes the life of people, ordinarily. Allahu Alam. Alaykum As-salam. He will be killed. He mentioned that. The Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. If a man, radiallahu anhu, if a man cohabits with an animal, kill the animal, kill the man. Just like he says, if a man cohabits with another man, male, kill that male, kill the two of them. Al-fa'ila maf'ulu bihi, kill the two of them. We have mentioned all of these in the course of the discourse. Maybe you are not attentive. Were you? I was looking at you. We had mentioned all of these in the course of the discourse. Anyone who abuses Allah or His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, should be killed by the Muslim authority. So, the same thing applies if the person abuses Allah. They are to be killed, because they are considered as non-Muslims who went out of Islam. So as we have said, they will be asked to repent and recount their statements. And as is in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, told to be kept for 3 days, keep them, take care of them, and still continue to encourage them to repent. But it is not just because someone abused the Prophet and his kid like that. All of these procedures should be followed by those in authority. Don't forget. That will answer the other aspect of the question, that can Muslims take action? Muslim governments will take action, not Muslims as individuals. The government will take actions, not individuals. The best the individual can do is to append such persons, apprehend such persons, and then hand them over to the government, but not to bring out the daggers. Anyone who kills such a person himself, if he's not careful, he can fall under and not to be enough. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam.
How about the situation where somebody came on a patient and was completely dead and doesn't have money?
You're free a slave. If I'm not forgetting, the slave itself comes before the deer in his case. I think there's a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah 176-177. You can check it up. I think the issue of the freeing a slave comes before this day. And the people can even forgive him. The family of the deceased can even forgive that Muslim. But he's keeping it good with somebody. And that money, just as if he were the one who were killed, it is his family that will collect the money. If it's the one who kills somebody and is not able to pay, all of their family will pay. There's a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi on this. All of their family will be told to pay. They will be compelled to pay. Because if that person who killed was the one who was killed, the family is the one that will enjoy the money. Maybe he's the one who killed somebody, they should be ready to pay for him too. So they should go and look for 40 pregnant camels.
Someone that kills a patient, can the family forgive?
Yes, they can forgive. That's why he says, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given the authority to his people. Allah made more authority. Allah to fulfill قَتْلًا. Don't take more life. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. The one who is killed is already assisted by Allah. Don't take more life. Or the one who is to be killed is assisted by Allah by the fact that he is giving you the chance not to kill him. Yes, ulama said it too, is right. You know who can go back to the one who was killed or the one who killed. So the family should be ready. If their son killed somebody, they should be ready to pay if they can't find the money. If the boy or the man alone can't find the money, the family will be arrested. All of them. After them, pay the money. Because if it were your son that paid the money, you'd be happy that you collect all these camels. So if you are the one too that committed the offense, you must be ready to pay. In fact, I was a kid at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet told them, all of you, you must pay the money. Such cases should be handled by the kudot, by the court judges. You look at all the circumstances and know what will happen. Maybe what will also happen is that the one who cut off somebody's hand will be asked to pay for a finger. All of these things are known in Sharia. In the books of Hadith, if you cut somebody's finger, how much do you pay? If you cut the finger, the small finger, what do you pay? You cut the dinsar, what do you pay? You cut the middle finger, the wuster, what do you pay? You cut the sababa, what do you pay? You cut the baham, what do you pay? All of these are in the books of Hadith. If you cut one, they will know what he pays. If you cut two, they know what he pays. Or his own could be cut in replacement. He says, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِكُ. He says, وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ. والأنف بالأنف والأذن بالأذن والسن بالسن والجروح قصاص. But he says, وَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ. So the judges and the courts, all those who are involved in the case, they will hear the case in greater detail and know what to do. But the Muslim that someone goes to his house to kill should not intend to kill the person that has come to his house. So I think we dealt with this extensively when we read the Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So the case will be one regarding which the court judges will know what to do in this case. Allah wa Allah. It's not unfortunate, because those Muslims may be people who are due to the force in Islam. If the Muslim government sends people to go and collect zakah forcibly from a man or people who have refused to pay zakah, in the process of the struggle, some of them may die, as it happened at the time of Abu Bakr. So it's not unfortunate. There are cases where Muslims will fight Muslims, and it may bring about the death of the party of them. Or when some Muslims, as was at the time of the companions, it was right. Ulama said, those who are right, we are those who took part in the battles. Like Imam Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. He said that Allah says, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَتَلُوا. He says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. He now says, وَإِنْ ضَلَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِهِ. He said, that was what they did. So they are the ones who operationalized this verse of the Quran. So even when those who did not take part had the opportunity of teaching more and spreading more knowledge, but those who took part were not wrong. So it is permissible, it is possible that during this kind of situation, blood, people will be killed. In Gaza, 90,000 Muslims died. 90,000. Or in the case of the Buzars, the Khawarij, when they were fought at Nahrawan, over 15,000 people died. Most of them from their side. And they are Muslims. So it depends on the situation. It's not all the case where two Muslims in combat, that is unfortunate that the life is taken. There are legally permissible situations where a Muslim army will fight with another group of people. And by so, like the way Saddam Hussein was fought, it was right that he should be fought. That Saddam should be fought, that he should go away from the land of Kuwait. It's not far from this verse of Quran. وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. I have on the, you can go and check it too, the Fatah Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz. There are more than five on this matter. And the personal letter he wrote to Saddam Hussein, that if he does not think that the UN will be fair, he should be ready, that they will be ready to assemble a group of scholars who will adjudicate between him and Kuwait. He refused. He said, he was coming to fight the whole of Saudi Arabia and take over Makkah, Medina, all of this. So Allah says, وَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا. All of you, fight. Which one? فَقَاتِلُوا الَّذِي تَبْغِي. الَّذِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. It was right that he fought. Some of the scholars have been asked regarding things like this. They are responding that people like that should be fought in such cases. Why would you say government that is not the government of Islam? Go and meet a scholar to give you a fatwa on that one. With a scholar who will tell you that it is permissible to fight Muslims of another country as a Nigerian army or as an army in Nigeria. Allahu Akbar. Go and make big scholars. Let them give you the fatwa on that one. But on issues that the army of Islam, the government of Islam has an army, It's not all the time that they fight another group of Muslims that it is wrong. It may be right in some cases as extent. Allahu Alaikum. Alaykum salam. We had explained that during the lecture. Alaykum salam. Wallahi, I don't know what I'm sitting here. I don't know. Well, the government, all those cases, like we said, the Sharia court judges will be looking at all these cases, and they'll be looking at the injustices of it. So they'll be able to pronounce appropriate judgment on them. Allahu Alam, that's 1 minute in the office. Allah knows this. Inshallah, we'll stop here, and we'll read other ahadith at another time that Allah permits. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك